I'm delighted now to welcome Heather Ross. She's the director of the documentary Girls on the Wall, which is screening here in the Santa Fe Film Festival. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this is a film about teenage girls in a juvenile detention center. How did you come to make this film? How did you get to know about this whole place and subject?
Well, I was in L.A. working on some rather lackluster reality shows, and I was looking for a subject for a documentary because I knew I wanted to take it in that direction. So I heard a little radio show or a radio story about this program. It was actually based at the detention center in Chicago at the time. And I was just like, this is it. This is great. This is a story about young women. It's young women we haven't heard from. And it's totally unexpected. The whole, you know, basically, as you mentioned, it takes place in a juvenile justice facility for girls, but it's about a musical that takes place in a juvenile justice facility. So it kind of turns the whole prison documentary idea on its ear. So I was really attracted to that. And I quit my job and moved to Chicago for a year to shoot the film.
So they make a musical about their lives, and it's a wonderful process that we see in the film because it documents from the very beginning of Miss P, who is their teacher and director, coming into the room and introducing this idea, and then they're writing their stories, and then the process of that being turned into a play. What was that like? What was it like for you to witness that, and what was it like for the girls?
Well, it was interesting because I was sort of in the same boat as the girls in a certain way, in that I didn't know what was going to happen. The whole process was unique to me, too. You know, I had never been to a facility like that, and, you know, many of them hadn't either. And I, you know, everyone involved was kind of having to roll with it. It was interesting to sort of see from the beginning, some girls just, like, open up right away, and they've been waiting their whole lives to tell this story. And some of them don't crack so easily, kind of like one of our main characters, Whitney, takes a long, long time to come out with her story, but you could sense in that first day of meeting her that she had a story and that it was going to be interesting. You know, sometimes with the girls that were the most reserved at first who had a story that they were the most desperate to tell, and that was really, really interesting to be there for that.
In many ways, the film shows the importance of art, the importance of expression in people's lives, because even in anybody's life, not just people who are in these desperate situations, but you and me and everybody else. But there's one girl in the film who is kind of the designated poet. She is very expressive in the first place, and even before they started making this musical, her words expressed what everybody else felt, and she played an important role in this prison.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting to me because I came into the whole thing saying, oh, a musical inside a jail, like that's totally antithetical and these girls are going to be way too tough for it. But it was totally untrue. The girls were really into it. And one way that they were into it was a lot of the girls were really into freestyle rap, you know, just as a way to pass the time. And some of them were really good. The girl you mentioned, Rosa, you know, was really good at just coming up with, you know, rhymes off the top of her head. And so doing music inside a prison setting was really not so weird for them. You know, it was something that was kind of already happening. So, yeah, Rosa is really expressive. And, you know, she had been writing these really great raps already and poems. And like you said, Miss P, who's the founder of Storycatchers Theater, which is the organization that puts on the musical, kind of really tapped into Rosa's poems, loved them, and turned them into a variety of songs in the play. But, you know, most interestingly, the catharsis song. There's a song they called the 11th Hour song, which was kind of aimed at bringing everyone together from kind of the crappy places they had been at in their lives, but coming together to look at a way of going forward. So I think it was really powerful for her to hear, you know, her words turned into a song like that. And, you know, I think it was a powerful song for a lot of the girls, actually.
What kinds of things were the girls in jail for?
Well, you know, it's an interesting place. Warrenville at the time was part of the Department of Corrections. Now it's its own department of Department of Juvenile Justice. But it's still the same in that it's one of the only places in Illinois for juvenile girl offenders. So you would have runaways housed alongside girls that were in for manslaughter or murder. And, you know, it's just completely the gamut. And you can, you know, as an outside observer, you can never tell who's who either. You know, you can have a really sweet girl and then find out that she's in there for a really violent crime. The most common charge at the time that I was shooting was aggravated assault. And sometimes it was for beating up another girl. Frequently, it was for hitting a teacher, which was surprising to me because I was seeing these girls in a totally different light. And to hear that they hit a teacher or whatever was really eye-opening. It's a real combination. And a lot of the girls, they've been locked up on one charge, but they'll get locked up 2, 3, 4 additional times just kind of for violating parole. And that will be, that could be as simple as not making a curfew, or a lot of the girls had basically made one mistake and then were continuing to pay for it via the parole system. So it was an interesting thing to see that, you know, how easy it is to get into the system and how hard it is to get out.
Very much so. And it's also really clear when you start hearing some of these girls' stories that there's almost nobody who doesn't have a parent who's either in jail or a drug addict or in some way pretty much in trouble themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was, you know, that was definitely a common theme that I saw and that, you know, we obviously drew out in the film. I liked all the parents I met. You know, I felt for them. But it's hard when you see a parent that is really incapable themselves of raising a kid. You know, and then in turn you see, you know, there are a lot of girls in the facility that are pregnant or have kids, and you wonder if that's the road they're heading down as a parent, sort of that cycle of having kids too young without the right tools, without the right stability, and, you know, not being able to really be there for them. So, you know, one thing that is hopeful at this stage, you know, they are teenagers, they are kids, and one thing the musical does is it reminds them of that, it brings that out. So you have these kids that are going through terrible things, and the process of writing and performing and singing kind of reminds them and brings them back to being a kid and taps into that sort of hopefulness that, you know, really all the girls had, this hopefulness and this sense of humor that I don't think you see as often in adults that are involved in the justice system. I think with kids, you really do have a strong feeling that there's still a lot of potential here. And, you know, you meet these girls and it's impossible to write them off.
Yeah, you really fall in love with these girls during the course of the movie. And I was sort of thinking at the beginning, here they are making this musical, and some Aretha Franklin is going to emerge. And it wasn't really like that. There was not that I could see any major talent that suddenly shone out. It was really the fact of doing it and the heart that went into it. And then there at the end was the audience, the parents, the families of these girls, witnessing them and also really in some cases seeing themselves in the mirror through the play.
Yeah, we were along for that ride too, and we were like wondering if we were going to have like a real American Idol talent pop out of this. And, you know, honestly, we did have some girls that were really good singers that had to leave the program because of either they left because they got out or, you know, behavioral problems. So the whole thing definitely became more about the stories the girls were telling through the music rather than being superstars themselves, which I think is good because what they had to say was really more important than how they said it. And yeah, to be a parent in that audience, having your kid basically act a story out that is both of your lives intertwined, you know, that was really powerful for both the kids and the parents. And nerves were definitely frayed before every performance they did. But even with how hard it was for the parents to watch some of this stuff, afterwards there was this huge catharsis of hugs and tears. And, you know, it really underscores the idea that telling your story is really the first thing you have to do in order to let it go and move forward. forward, and, you know, you could really sense that that was a big step that had been taken that day.
As I was watching the film, I thought about the larger issues that are underlying it, namely, what are the reasons for these girls being in here, their families being the way they are, and it really, without anybody saying it outright, it highlights the difficulty in relying on just law enforcement as a way of dealing with social problems like drugs. Watching the film, one longs for drug treatment programs, for anti-poverty programs, for things that would actually give people a better life way before these problems happen in the first place.
Yeah, and you know, a really strange thing about being at Warrenville is that you realize that for a lot of these girls, life is better inside. Life is better being locked up at Warrenville than sometimes it is outside. And you'll see girls that sort of will even tell you they have gotten caught on purpose, or they've violated parole on purpose because they wanted to be in a place that was safe, that they could get food, that they weren't going to get drawn into something where they would get in real bad trouble. You know, it's shocking sometimes to see that getting locked up is a better choice than being outside for some of these girls and the lives they're coming from. And to me, yeah, it did really scream out for some better services way earlier in life, and also better services after they get out. You know, a lot of these girls are dropped back into the places where they came from, the places that caused their problems, essentially. And, you know, there's not a lot out there for them once they get out. It's, you know, you see a lot of the girls get really strong and really mature at Warrenville, and then it's so hard to maintain that when you go back to exactly the same stuff that you're dealing with before you got locked up. So,
and especially when, if you try to go someplace new, chances are you don't know anybody, and so you don't have any place to go and start out, and no money, so you have to go back into your toxic environment.
Totally. And, you know, one of the things the girls always would say is, you know, misery loves company. Like, once you start doing good, you've got a whole bunch of people waiting to drag you down because it makes them uncomfortable to see someone trying and succeeding. They're well aware of that phenomenon. It's just, it's a hard thing to really change your life and environment. It's hard for even the strongest among us. And for a teenage girl, it certainly takes a very special, strong person to be able to do that. And, you know, for most of the girls, it's a process, not a panacea. You know what I mean?
Right.
The musical is something that they have in their lives now. They have the knowledge that they put together something that was completely unique and special and inspiring. And it's part of the experience they have to draw upon. And I have to say, a lot of the girls from the film that participated and put their stories on stage are doing pretty well. Whitney, who's kind of our narrator, is enrolled in college classes for January, and she's going to be taking her general education and is hoping to transfer to a four-year school, which is huge. You know, Rosa, who you were saying was the kind of like the poetess of Warrenville, she's got two jobs and she's looking at going to school, maybe starting back up in the summer. So a lot of the girls are doing much better than they were when they were being shot for the film and when they were doing the, you know, writing the musical. And, you know, I think that part of it is having participated in this experience.
And then being able to have this DVD and see the movie. It's called Girls on the Wall. Heather Ross is the director. And it screens as part of the Santa Fe Film Festival on Friday at 5 o'clock at the DeVargas Cinema, and then on Sunday at 5:15 at the New Mexico History Museum. Heather Ross, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure.